We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Full Draw Friday. I'm Canyon. That's Austin over there. We're going to be talking pre-rut stuff today. What the Bucks are doing, why they're doing it, and how we can hunt them during this time of year. It's one of the best times of year, in my opinion, to get out there and get on a mature buck. And it's one of the best times to be in the woods just for deer activity, for the weather, for the scenery. It's an awesome time to be out in the woods. And we're going to talk about how you can do that and be successful. But before we get into it, don't forget about our partners for these Full Draw Fridays. Rack's Big Game Supplements. You can go to racksmineral.com and check out everything they have to offer. And Rodney Hawkins with Midwest Farm and Land and RG Outdoors. Midwest Farm and Land is a real estate company here in Illinois. They specialize in recreational property, but they do residential stuff as well. So if you're looking for anything in Illinois or to sell something, get a hold of Rodney. He's also got RG Outdoors, which is a sporting goods company of his own. They've got almost everything for the outdoors, and they're adding new stuff all the time. So his number is 618-925-3153. He can get you taken care of on any of that. Austin, what's up, man? We just talked a little bit about you've been out some, seen some fresh sign, not a lot of bucks yet.
Yeah, just young bucks moving, mostly what I've been seeing, some does and some young bucks. The last night I had a small buck come in, you know, at that last hour. I think it was a good hour and a half before dark, he came in and roughed up some scrapes and left. You know, you could definitely tell he was kind of in that cruising manner, you know, working against the wind and whatnot, and just came in, hit the scrapes, and continued on his way. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how oblivious those little bucks are. It's hilarious.
Just clueless.
Yeah. I made a post about it just now, that video. Yesterday, I you know, it's a funny time of year. A lot of times you're hunt morning, work lunchtime, midday, hunt evening, or just kind of, you know, a mix of the two there, just mm-hmm. trying to hunt as much as you can and still get some work done.
For sure.
You know, brush hogging the first half of the day and then hit an evening hunt and whatnot. So
Whole gambit.
Yep.
The life of a hunter / content creator / outfitter / property manager, right?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it is a lot packed into a little package.
Especially from October to January. Like,
yeah.
It can be a lot. But
there's a lot going on. Yeah.
Finding time to hunt is big right now because it is such a good time of year. And it's funny you're talking about that little buck. I had one last night come in, like a 2.5-year-old 8-pointer, 115-inch mm-hmm. 8-pointer. Came by right on a transition line from some tree program stuff in Big Timber, right by where I was sitting, and he was just cruising down through there. He stopped, made a scrape, rubbed on a tree a little bit, and then just kept going. It's like the younger ones really don't know why they're doing it. They just know they're supposed to be right now.
Yeah.
And then
they're
big
just
bucks
cruising, and
big bucks kind of have it figured out. Well, we're going to talk about that. But first of all, we might as well explain kind of the pre-rut, because we talked last week about a little bit of the first phase of the pre-rut, if you want to call it that. Now we're getting into what everybody thinks about when they think pre-rut. And technically, I guess the whole month of October is really pre-rut. But when you say that, people are thinking like 25th through 31st of October, right? And it's the time where those bucks are trying to find the first hot does. They're laying down sign to let other bucks know that that's their area, all that kind of stuff. But how would you describe the pre-rut, I guess, just so people kind of have a general idea of what we're talking about on this episode?
Yeah, I mean, I would bump up that pre-rut, you know, even into October 15th, you know, middle of October onto through the first week of November, I think mm-hmm. of as a pre-rut. You can count kind of first week in November as some rut activity. I personally haven't, in my own experience, haven't seen the best rut activity on that first week of November. It's typically warm, and also I'm more than not likely most of those big bucks are already locked down. Right. So I see a lot of little bucks moving, right? But with the right property, and if you have the area that is holding these deer with little pressure on them, like managing your properties correctly and, you know, holding deer all year, that first week in November can be fantastic because you've got those deer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You've got those deer holding and you've controlled your pressure and done a good job to give them a reason to still be there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would bump that up into middle of October. You know, the scrapes are starting to become more active. You got some signpost rubs getting laid down. You can tell the bachelor groups, especially the big boys, they're running solo now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're not with other deer. If they are, they're maybe coming into contact with some younger bucks or some does, but the scrapes are becoming more active and they're getting closer to the mature doe herd. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's that time frame where a buck can lock down really fast, mm-hmm. especially if there aren't very many mature bucks. If there's a very low density of mature bucks in that area, they're going to lock down really fast with that very first doe that comes in the heat. And if you have an area where you've got a pretty good density of mature bucks, you can see a little bit more movement longer through this pre-rut phase, just because there's more competition and they have to go look for those deer. You know what I mean? Look for those does that are first coming in first.
Yep.
But yeah, if you have a small density, they're pretty much go ghost on you pretty quick.
Yep, exactly. That kind of touches a lot on what they're doing right now. Like you said, they're looking for those first does that are going to come in. They're laying down scrapes. A lot of people talk about or think about scrape hunting, and this is the time of year where I think it's most effective in this pre-rut phase, because that's when, like you said, that's what the mature bucks are doing, is they're going and checking those. There's so much communication that happens there, whether it is them communicating to another buck, hey, I'm in this area, this is mine, or communicating with does also, hey, we're both in this area, whatever. It may not be that he finds out there's a doe in heat necessarily at that scrape, but he knows what does are in that area, right? It's amazing how well they can smell. They can go to a scrape and tell like every different deer that it's been there from the scent that they've laid down in that scrape. So there's a ton of communication, and right now is when they're doing that the most, right? And second would be like after peak rut, once you start getting late November and December, those scrapes will start opening up again. That's why, because they're looking again for those last few does instead of those first few does. But that's what those mature bucks are doing right now. They know, usually if they're a homeboy, they've been in that area for 2 or 3 years, they kind of know the deal, which does are going to come in first, where they need to be around, and that's where they're going to be, looking for those does. And it's not like the rut where you just hunt the does, because that's the other part of that scrape hunting is guys will go in first 2 weeks of November or like that second week of November and they'll sit scrapes and think, well, they're all dried up, there's no bucks. So that's because they've already found the does, right? So you hunt the does in November. Right now, though, you can get on those scrapes and have a lot of luck, even if it's just throwing a camera up on one like we talked about, I think, last week, and figuring out what you got around and if it's daylight active or not. But what they're doing is all that stuff. And where you can find them is doing all that stuff on those scrape lines, right? So it's sign around doe bedding area, like you said, the mature doe herds. It's those ridge tops, scrape lines where they're cruising and using thermals in the morning. And I know we've talked about this before. You've talked about this before. When you're going into scouting, you come across a scrape and you plot it on your map, whatever map you use, Onyx, Hunt Stand, whatever. And then you come across another one, you plot it too. And then you get back to the truck and you can look and see, okay, what is a scrape line? Well, it's these four dots in a row on this ridge that I've got mapped out for my scouting. That's where you're going to find these bucks this time of year. The mature bucks most of the time.
Yeah. And kind of another way of looking at finding scrapes, you know, converging scrapes, you have multiple scrapes in an area, is the majority of the time, those scrapes are going to be in areas where the majority of deer move past, right? Very heavy converging movement. Those scrapes are kind of a tell, right? So if you come across an area where you've got converging trails and it looks pretty heavy, but there isn't any sign, that might not be as good of a converging movement to hunt as you think it is, unless you have visual evidence with either a trail camera or you've hunted it and you see the movement. You know what I mean? But a lot of times those scrapes can actually give away the best converging areas to hunt. Whether you're actually hunting a scrape or not, it's giving away where most of the deer are moving through. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And also this time of year, understand that these does seek out these bucks. It's not just about the buck seeking out these does. These mature does want to breed with a more mature buck. You know what I mean? They don't want a subordinate buck breeding them. So they're hitting the scrapes just as hard. And you see that on camera and whatnot. The does are hitting it hard and they're just trying to keep in line with what that buck's doing and mm-hmm. just trying to make sure they're linked up with the more mature buck in the area. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a kind of one of those things where, you know, like I said, if you've got a lower density of bucks, say it's a really heavily pressured area and you've just got one buck here, one buck there that are the dudes, they can pretty much hold up in the brush mm-hmm. and just chill with the does. And you won't see them really actively trying to pursue finding those deer because they already know where each other is.
Right.
But mature bucks know where the mature does are and vice versa. And they're usually pretty close mm-hmm. already. You know what I mean? So that's where when I look for a new area to hunt, I'm paying very close attention to the age class of the doe. Yeah, young bucks, they can do their thing. But if those does are not really showing me much of an age class, more than likely there's not going to be a big buck there until later in the year.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So if I find a spot where I've got a lot of young does and they're active, there's a bunch of them, that's something to bank and I can come to later, end of November, beginning of December, you know. But right now, if you aren't on mature does, more than likely you're also not on mature bucks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's, like you said, those mature does, they don't want to be, they've been through it enough, they don't want to be harassed by all the little bucks either. So if they can go hide out or they can find that big buck and get bred just as soon as they come into estrus, that's less they have to deal with all those year and a half, 2.5 year old bucks running around. I was telling you before we got started here this morning, went on a hunt and doe comes by and then it wasn't 2 minutes later, he came 3 year and a half old bucks. And you know, they've probably been just doing that to her for like days, right? Possibly.
Yeah.
And she's just ready to get it over with and get done with. But she's probably not ready yet, right? At that point, because she's got all these little bucks around her. But when she is ready, she wants to find that, like you said, that dominant buck and get it over with. And then she's out of estrus now. As long as it takes, she doesn't have to worry about those little bucks. That's why sometimes in the rut, you'll see a doe, even by herself, she's just laid up in the most random piece of brush or the thickest place she can get because she's tired of being ran around by whether she's in estrus or not. She's tired of being run around by all the little bucks. But the mature bucks aren't doing that. I did see a mature buck this morning, I was telling you too. He was with two does, and there was a little buck, kind of like a satellite buck around him, and he would bump him off, and then he would kind of bump those does around. And I guarantee you that doe that he was bumping is probably a few days from being in estrus because that dude was at least 4.5, probably 5.5 years old, and he knows the deal around that area that this is where I need to be. That's why he's already with that doe, right? And he will probably be locked down in another couple of days with that doe, just like you were talking about. So that's what they're doing. How do you go about hunting them now?
Yeah, it's precision. You know, it's precision and patience. I feel like now is one of those times when you can really mess things up on accident, you know what I mean? By hunting too often. Mm-hmm. But you also can't be afraid to go in there and get it done, especially if he's there.
Right.
If he is there and you have active proof that he's there and you've got mature does and you've got hot sign, like these scrapes are open and you get a 5 degree drop from one morning to the next, or better yet, a 10 degree drop, you know, that could be enough just to get him on his feet and hitting that scrape, you know, during daylight or, you know, post rain where they're coming back and kind of refreshing those scrapes, you know, and a drop in wind, anything, any kind of change to maybe encourage him to get up more during daylight, get after it, you know, and especially if you have visual proof. If you don't have visual proof, scout, you need to be scouting and staying on sign. You know, it's one of those times where, you know, you scout more than you hunt, you know? Mm-hmm. So as long as you're on hot sign and you feel good about the age class of deer that you're in, then it's just kind of a patience game, you yep. know? And, or if you have visual proof, it's just a patience game, you know, make sure you don't go in there and run your opportunity tomorrow or the next day, but don't be afraid to go in and get him. If you've got the opportunity, if he's there, go get him. You yep. know what I mean? It's an amazing time to have a decent pattern put together on these bucks because they're still pretty chill and they're holding tight to their core area. They're yep. not stretching out big ranges right now just because, like you said, they know where the mature does are mm-hmm. in their home area and vice versa. Those mature does know where the big mature bucks are. And they're staying pretty close already right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yep. that they already know where each other is. They're just waiting for that right time, lockdown.
Yep.
And then once that first lockdown breaks, that's when we see some crazy mature buck chasing.
Right.
Like
right.
That's when they're working to get to the next doze. Like mm-hmm. now it's time to work for that next step.
Like the classic rut activity that you think about, right?
Exactly. I think of that classic rut activity as when that buck is now on his second or third doe.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like that to me is typically what I think of as the classic rut. Like he's already locked down once or twice already with mature does. He's now looking for that next doe.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That mid-November, because they can lock down for a week. You know, he could be locked down with that doe for 3, 4,
yeah.
5 days or more, you know? So it's not like he's in and out really quick looking for the next doe. He could lock down and ghost on you for a week,
mm-hmm.
but he's still there. He's close. He's going to come back.
Yeah.
Just kind of wait for him to show back up.
Exactly. Basically. To back up a little bit, a couple things you said there, talking about scrapes for one, Blake was telling me he heard somebody talking the other day about scrapes after the rain, right? And he was like, mm-hmm. I don't go in and hunt them right after it rains because usually the bucks will let them dry out a little bit before they go work them again. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think about that and think of what I've seen, and I can't think of an example that would either prove or disprove that, but have you seen anything on that as far as like when to hunt those scrapes right after the rain or like if the amount of rain matters, or you think it's pretty much... It rains when it stops during their checking scrapes, or you think they'll give it some time to air out a little bit?
I think they probably give it a little time to air out. I think your best time to my thought process, I guess, going into a scrape is I'm hunting a converging movement now mm-hmm. at that point, right? Those deer are getting up, they're hitting acorns and they're getting out of bed. You know, typically, like I said, those scrapes are in the better converging movement of the area, whether that buck walks by and actually hits a scrape, or he just walks by just because I'm hunting a big white oak, right. You know, or I'm right on the edge of bedding and on a funnel, you know, there's scrapes there because that's the primary converging movement. Whether I can't really say I've watched a buck hit a scrape right after a really heavy rain. I can't really say that was something that I've observed, but I have observed a lot of movement in areas like that at directly after a rain.
Yeah.
Whether they hit the scrape or not, there's a lot of movement that happens that put rain.
Yeah.
So sure. Whether it's feeding or not, you yeah. know what I mean? So that could be something that even if you're not necessarily scrape hunting, you're hunting the converging, the better converging movement in the area just outside of that bedding area. Yeah. Is what you're looking for.
Yeah. Cause they're using that, and whether they're actually hitting the scrape or not, they're using that area.
100%.
The other thing you said was, you know, if you have definite sign and definite reason to go in after him now, don't mess yourself up. But if you have that going after him, especially mm-hmm. I would say if you're public land hunting or an area that's mm-hmm. highly pressured, because here in about a week and a half, guys are really going to mm-hmm. start moving in. So if you want a yeah. chance, if you want the first chance at that buck, if you have even a little bit of reason to think he's in there in those situations, I would say, here the next week or so, get in there and try to get it done. Because if you don't, that pressure comes in here in about a week. You know how crazy it can get on not only public ground, but again, even permission stuff or places where there's just a lot of hunter density. Guys start taking vacation. they start hunting after work. They make a little bit more of an effort to make some time to get out in the woods, and more guys are getting out there once you get closer to Halloween and, of course, into November. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you're in one of those situations and you have a buck that you think has a chance of daylighting, I'd say go in there and get after him.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And that's one of those situations, especially if you've got him pegged in an area that is kind of easy to access, or maybe there's some, I mean, you also got to put into account duck season opens beginning to middle of November.
November, yeah.
So if you're hunting any kind of marsh or island or anything that might get some pressure along those lines, also, those guys will be getting out in the woods. So if you've got him pegged in an area that you know there's going to be some duck pressure, you've got a couple weeks here too. But like you said, if it's any kind of pressure, it's a balancing act, because you've got the pressure to go get him right now. The earlier you can make it happen, the better a lot of times. But you don't want to be the reason to mess it up.
Right.
So it's this balancing act of go get him when the conditions are right. You know what I mean? Like you said, if the conditions are right and he's got a chance of daylighting, jump in there, see what happens, and go from there.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's just like what we're talking about on, you know, keeping going with how to hunt them, finding that fresh sign, especially fresh sign around those mature does. That's likely a mature buck, likely a target buck. Pay attention to your cameras right now. What are you seeing on them? I would say pay attention to what you're seeing on them, but not necessarily what you're not seeing on them. And I'll explain why.
Yeah.
Because we all know that, let's say you're hunting a 40-acre tract, you've got five cameras. Okay, those five cameras are only covering, what, a 20-yard wide swath of that. So you got 100 yards, give or take, covered of that 40 acres, right? So you're not seeing everything that's going on. This morning, that doe that came in, she came in on the trail, the main trail, there's a camera on it. As soon as she saw the camera, she locked up, she took like three steps backwards, and she went behind the tree and around that camera. Like, for whatever reason, super camera shy doe, whether that was because she had an experience where she came in right after one was set and she smelled people around them, whatever. Maybe she just saw a camera and then a coyote attacked her. Like, who knows why? But she saw the camera, never got a picture of her. She just locked up, took like three steps back, and then went around the camera. So, like, how many times does that happen with a mature buck that you're targeting, right? Just because if you do have pictures of him, it means he's there. But just because you don't have pictures of him doesn't mean he's not there, right? So pay attention to your 100% cameras, what's on them, not necessarily what's not on them.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it, because I have actually, I had this area where I was on very mature big deer, and the scrape that camera was on, that camera was just dark. I mean, nothing was happening on it, but I'm like, man, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I go in there, and that scrape was dry, and about 10 yards off to the side of that camera is just dug out, but it was out of view of the camera.
Yep.
I'm like, all right.
Oh, hang on a second. I lost your audio.
Better?
Yeah. Well, I got your computer audio. It's not coming through your mic now, it doesn't sound like.
Yeah, you got my computer audio right now. I don't know, my mic kind of turned off on me there. No, I've actually seen that happen, and where whether it's because of the camera or they just chose a different area, you know, just because that camera's dark, don't give up on it. You know what I mean? That scrape could have adjusted for whatever reason. I've seen that happen where I've got a scrape pegged, and then, you know, it'll shift 10 to 50 yards. You know, that happened with my Kansas buck. Is the scrape I was previously hunting them on went dry, but the scrapes there 50 yards down picked up. You know what I mean? So that's where it's still go in and scout it. You know, don't just rely on what your trail cameras are telling you. I think that's something that we put too much stock in, is trail camera data. It's important, but at the same time, it misses a lot.
Yep, absolutely. I think that's probably a good place to leave it. We'll let guys get out to the woods enjoy the weekend, get out there and hunt. We're supposed to have some rain Sunday. I know you got some rain right now. I don't know what the rest of the Midwest is looking like, but hopefully some guys are getting out there. I look for, between now and our next episode, there to be several big bucks hit the ground, hopefully by the guys on this show right now. But I'm sure somebody out there will be killing some big bucks over the next week. So get out there after them, guys. Appreciate you tuning in. We'll try to get another one out for you next week. Here, it's going to be, we're going to just try to record them when we can. Like, this is coming out kind of late Friday, but we're just going to get them in. We can get them up and posted. That way you guys can have some, hopefully some good information going into your sits over the next month or so. And some of the best time to be out in the woods. So good luck this week. That's Austin, Tactical Approach Outdoors on social media. TacticalApproachOutdoors.com is his website if you want any more of his content or anything from him. Ridge Hunter Outdoors is our website. Also, Ridge Hunter Outdoors on social media. Give us a follow, a like, all that kind of stuff. If you're on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button. Go over and subscribe to Austin's channel as well. He's got some good stuff there. So that's all we got for you guys this week. I appreciate it. We'll catch you again next Friday.